We are very close to Christmas time, and I was just thinking about people respond to Christmas differently. You know, for some people, some of you choose to spend a lot of money around Christmas time and go way above even your means, because you know, for some people, in order for them to have Christmas, they have to have all the decorations, all the things. You have to have a tree. You have to have the lights. For some people, that's what Christmas really is. For others, Christmas can be a time of sorrow and pain, because perhaps, you know, I guarantee you right now, today, at this hour, some people are being born, some people are dying. And imagine that. I mean, perhaps somebody left around Christmas time, the husband and wife, and instead of being joyous for the time of celebration for many, they're sad. And so people respond to Christmas differently in many ways. You know, for some people, they rather have no Christmas. They rather that we do not celebrate it. That's how they respond. For others, they know that Christmas and Easter and Halloween, they've really been commercialized in our society. And you know, so for some church people, they don't like it because of that. And yes, that's true that Christmas started as a pagan holiday. If you do the research, really, that's how everything started. But you see, today it's not like that. And people, because of the history, they tend to say, you know, I don't want to celebrate it. And then they look down on you when you go and celebrate it. How do you respond to Christmas? You know, for some people, around this time of the year, we tend to make it about the Savior because, Jesus Christ wasn't born in December. He wasn't born December 25th, but somebody came up with that idea. I always tell you, in case you didn't know, it's like my birthday. I celebrate my birthday in November, but I was born in August. Yes. Sorry, I can, you know, but just like that, Jesus wasn't really born in December, but somebody said, you know, but let's make it about his birthday. And for some people, we really try hard to make Christmas about the birth of Jesus. That's why sometimes you hear authors writing books about keeping Christ in Christmas. It's supposed to be the birth of Jesus, but let's make it about the birth of Jesus for some people, you know. Other people's like, well, I don't, it's about the gifts and the lights and the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, but apparently it might not happen today here. Or next week. But you know, it's just, for some people, that's what Christmas is. But and like I said, people respond to it differently. How do you respond to Christmas? What do you do around Christmas time? What is, like I had to tell somebody, you know, Christmas time is more about families getting together. It should be about that, you know, not like, oh, I don't have the gifts to give you, but maybe all they want is you to love them and be there for them. Like I said, regardless of the commercialization of Christmas, for some people really try hard to make it about the birth of this baby 2,000 years ago that changed the course of history. This is how I know some people choose to celebrate Christmas. See, last week we talked about the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Mary. Remember, we talked about that was we called it a world-rocking news because Mary said, you know, the angel said, greetings, you are highly favored. You're going to be with a baby and you are to give him the name Jesus and he's going to be great. He's going to be a king. How did Mary respond to that? Remember, she was overwhelmed with all the information the angel gave her. But she, at the end of the passage, we notice that she said to the angel, may it happen to me just as you said. How did she respond? She placed herself at God's disposal. She placed herself under God's will. We didn't talk much about Joseph last week, but if you go to Matthew chapter 1, we know how did Joseph, Mary's fiance, how did he respond? He was ready to leave her. He said, you know, she's pregnant and it's not my kid, so I'm gonna leave her. I'm gonna go. Then Joseph had an encounter with an angel. An angel came and told Joseph, hey, don't hesitate to take Mary home as your wife, because what she's have is from the Holy Spirit. And she's going to give birth to a son. And you are, Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, which means what? Savior. In case you didn't know, the word Jesus, Yeshua, means Savior. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And then Joseph, how did he respond to that? He obeyed God's command and took Mary. And yes, they did have more kids after Jesus, in case you didn't know. But Jesus, I mean, the Bible says he had no union with Mary until Jesus was born. And after that, then they were together. Then later on, God decided to announce this great news, the news of the Savior to humble shepherds in the field. And that's the text we're going to be looking at. And RJ read a little portion of the text this morning. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse 8. Let's just check out how the shepherds responded to the news of the Savior. If we're going to call Christmas the birth of the Savior, I mean, we saw how Mary responded, how Joseph responded. Let's see how this group of shepherds responded to the announcement of Jesus being born. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." We've been noticing that every time an angel appears, people are terrified. I mean, just keep that in mind. It's almost like, because remember last week I told you, when an angel appears, angel means messenger. He either has a message of good news or it's bad news for you, that there's an angel visiting you. So they were terrified, these shepherds. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord, Messiah the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I mean, we tend to read the story, perhaps to our kids, about the birth of Jesus, you know, and that's why usually around Christmas time I preach those sermons about the birth of Jesus, because if we're going to make Christmas to be about the birthday of Jesus, maybe you need to know how he was born, what happened. Shepherds living out in the fields, they're taking care of their business. Shepherds, you know, that was a common job back in those days. Now, the Jewish people did not like that job because it was dirty. You working out with sheep and taking care of sheep. And some people say that sheep are very dummy animals, they call it. That they're not very smart. But the shepherds taking care of that, they're doing their job. And all of a sudden, a visitor appear, an angel of the Lord appear, and they were afraid. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news again. Of great joy for all people." Notice this news is not just for you guys, but it's going to be a great joy for all people. And what is the news today in the town of David? Now, what is the town of David? Bethlehem. You can call it the town of kings. Bethlehem in Jerusalem. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And the angel even identified the name of the Savior. He is Messiah the Lord. Kyrios. He is Christ the Lord. And then he said, "And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, this will be an evidence for you. This is a sign. You will find the baby wrapped in a manger. How many babies that day were born in a manger? One. So it's like, I mean, you can look everywhere at shepherds and you're only going to find one. When you find that one lying on a manger, that is a Savior. And we know the context why Jesus, when he was born, he did not even have a hospital, bed, or a home, because they had gone to Jerusalem. They had gone to register there. There was no place for them to stay because there were so many people in the city. And Mary's time to give birth came. And the only place for the Savior of the world to be born was in a manger, when you read the account of Matthew. And the angel said to the shepherd, "That's where you're going to find him, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly we have a heavenly choir right here. Suddenly the great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel praising God and saying, in excelsis Theos, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Some translation would say, among men with whom he is pleased. That's the ESV. Glory to God in the highest. That's what we're saying. And excelsis Theo. That's what it means. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men with whom he is pleased. Now the angels, I mean, it's amazing. Heaven and earth collided that day that Jesus Christ was born. An angelic choir. Now, if you did a study in the Bible, through the Bible, about angels, it's interesting. Every time an angel appeared to, there's something really important that you should pay attention to what's going on there. You see angels at the birth of Jesus, angels at the resurrection of Jesus. You read the book of Revelations, and there are angels all over the place, blowing trumpets and things and announcing something that is God sending them to tell people about what's going on. So the angels, he says, left him. So what? What do the shepherds do then? How did they respond to them? They were just informed that there was a Savior being born in Bethlehem, and they're not too far away from Bethlehem. So you can say, how did they respond? So, okay, oh, a great Savior. So, thank you very much. I don't need him. Thank you. Or it's like, oh, really? But good for you. You know, maybe people respond like that today. A Savior's been born? Okay, but that's your Savior, not mine. A Savior's been born to you. This would be a sign. Go find it. Check it out. I'm telling you. He's going to be in a manger, and he's going to be wrapped in cloths. So look what happens. It says, verse 15, when the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go check this out. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So you see, the shepherds went to inquire of the baby. They wanted to do the research. So let's go to Bethlehem. I mean, he told us this is going to be, that's a sign. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. That's really true. Let's just go find that out. So they went, he says. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying where? In a manger, just like the angels told him. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning them. How did the shepherds respond? They first went and checked it out. How did they respond? Now they're spreading out the news about the baby, because it was just like the angels told him. They said, well, no, it's true. I mean, we went, I can just hear the angels telling their family, the angels, the shepherds telling the families, yeah, the angels appeared and told us about this baby. You know, we went and checked it out, and he was there, and it was like amazing things about this baby. It says they spread out the news. I mean, isn't that what we do when we have good news? Don't we want other people to know what's going on? When you get a promotion, you tell your families, hey, you know, if somebody gives you a ticket to go to see the Yankees or the Mets, and you're happy because, hey, you know, you spread out good news. If it's bad, you don't want other people to know it sometimes. But good news, you should not keep to yourself. So the shepherds is like, you know, they spread out the news concerning what had been told them about this child, it says right there in verse 17. And check this, verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They went and checked it out. Now they're spreading out the news of the child. And I love that note that Luke includes right here. He says, but Mary, whatever the shepherds are saying, Mary just pondering things. Says she treasured all these things upon her heart. Verse 20, the shepherds return, and what do they do now? How did they respond? Now they're glorifying God and worshiping God for what God has already revealed to them. So you see, everybody respond differently. The shepherds, they could have said, you know, we're busy taking care of the sheep. We're not going anywhere. Yes, I know that you guys are angels, and that's beautiful, awesome, but I'm not going to go check this out. So, but they say, hey, you know, let's go to Bethlehem. They went to check it out. That's how they responded. After they checked it out, they spread out the news. They broadcast it to other people what's going on. And not just that, now they're worshiping the baby. They're worshiping God. They return glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. Now, there's a word that we use a lot in church. It just dawned on me. That's not even my sermon. It just came to me right now. When he says that they have heard and seen, what do you call that? Witness. A witness hears or sees something. Jesus had told the apostles, go and be my witnesses. So they're being the shepherds became witnesses of what they saw and heard, and they're spreading out the news about the child. You see that baby in a manger whom the shepherds went to see, whom the shepherds spread out the news, the same baby in a manger. The angel said, he's the savior of the world. I bring you good news that it won't just be for you. Good news that will be a great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. You see, we know that a baby cannot do much. Jesus Christ, as a baby, he could not save you. You know, I know some people, which is still, it boggles my mind that they would pray to baby Jesus. And it's like, do you realize, you read the story, that this baby Jesus, Mary had to protect him from danger because somebody wanted to kill him. And they had to flee because baby Jesus cannot save anybody. When the angel said he will be a savior, you have to continue tracing the story of this baby. Yes, he became a man. And it was when he became a man that he became what? The savior of the world. Remember when he was 12 years old, Mary still did not understand. He goes into the temple and he's arguing or debating with the scholars of that day. And Mary and Joseph said to Jesus after he's 12 years old, hey, we've been all over this place looking for you. What are you doing? And then he said to them, don't you know that I had to be about my father's business? And it's like, imagine, I was like, oh, this, his father. He already talking about, this is what I was born to do. As a baby, he was already the wisdom that he had. 12-year-old Jesus. And then later on, you don't hear anymore until he's 30. When he's initiating his ministry, he's baptized by John the Baptist in the desert, in the wilderness. And he started his ministry. He appointed 12 apostles, that baby that was born. When he's 30, he was baptized. After that, he selected some disciples and began to train him to do service to God. Around 33, then he, Jesus Christ, went to the cross. That's why one of the things, how do I respond to Christmas? I cannot think of Christmas, Jesus being born, without thinking about the cross. Because really, that's where Jesus Christ became the Savior of the world. When the angel said to Joseph, his name will be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. From their sins. Now, you might ask, why a Savior? Why do we need a Savior? I tell you why we need a Savior. We need a Savior because we have a sin problem in our society. We have a sin problem within ourselves. And do you realize that you and I cannot get rid of sin, even if you try hard? Even if you go to Dr. Phil Oprah to tell you, or Joel Osteen would tell you, you will not get rid of it. We have a sin problem in our midst. And you know how I know that? Just wait until somebody cuts you off on the road. And like automatically something tells you in your brain, and like you're ready to, you know what I mean? It's like that sin is just ready to just come out of us. And you know, it's more like try to get even. It's a sin within ourselves. The Bible says that we have it. We are born into a sinful society, and we're dealing with it. We need a Savior, like somebody who can rescue us and free us from our sinful attitude. We cannot free ourselves. Sin is not really, it's in our DNA already. The Bible calls that the sinful nature, which is like try to do more things against God than according to God. That's, you know, we all, even us preachers, we all have that sinful nature. And it's almost like every day we have to continue praying so that we do more things that are glorifying to God and not to our flesh. The Bible calls that the flesh too, or the sinful nature. It's a conflict that we have. I always picture the cartoon Tom and Jerry. You have the good angel say, don't do it. And this one's, oh yeah, go ahead and do it. And it's like you're in the middle. It's like, which one do I listen to? Our lives evolve very much like that. It's like, and who's going to win this battle? The one you pay attention to the most. Sometimes you're going this way, but sometimes you go this way. And it's like Paul says, we have this conflict. You see, you and I need a Savior to be able to deal with this sinful attitude in our mind. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we cannot even approach God in our sinful nature. We need somebody to come between us and God. We need a mediator. Sin makes me enemy of God. And you know, I tell you, I don't want to be an enemy of God. When everything is said and done, I want to be at peace with God. Sin separates us from God. Remember, it's almost like this gulf, this chasm that was being created, and God is on one side, we on the other side. Somebody needs to become the bridge by which we can go to God. Otherwise, because we cannot build a bridge ourselves. Colossians talks about sin makes us enemy of God, and we deserve His punishment. Not His grace, but judgment, His punishment. You see, sin has been affecting our society, and you see that all the time. Somebody, just because they don't like you, they go into a school and just open fire against people. Why do you think that's happening? You know, our governments, our society, they think like if we control guns, but then people are going to kill each other with knives. Because it's not the gun problem. It's not, you know what it is, the problem? It's in ourselves. If we be able to deal with our problems, our society be better. And if we just did it, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you would not even have to lock your house if we were there. But, you know, since we have a sin problem, you have to be careful how you go outside. You know, even as I'm preaching today, somebody might come and shoot me. It's just like, we have a sin problem in our society. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need somebody who can really rescue us from this thing that we call sin. Sin is separation from God. Sin is rebellion against God. People have rebelled against God, and you wonder why the world is going the way it is. Now, but the great news is that through Jesus, you and I can be at peace with God. Jesus Christ, when He died, He took the penalty of my sin and your sin. And he said, like, it's done. It's finished. He went between, he was the arbiter. He was the referee between God and me and you. The mediator. The Bible says there's a mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus Christ. He took, it's almost like the Bible calls that reconciliation. You know, reconciliation happens when there are two parties, they were enemies. And now I said, you know, you guys want to be friends now. And Jesus just did that on the cross with God and us. That's what I think about Christmas time. It's like, that's when He became the Savior of the world. At His death, when He paid the penalty for our sins. God became a man in Jesus so that through His dying, our sins can be wiped away. Through His death, we can be forgiven. You see, I just hope that you don't miss that point. I hope you don't miss this. Because it was through His death and the resurrection that Jesus Christ became the Savior of the world. And I love after He resurrected, He says, hey, all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples. It's like, I'm in charge, He said. You see, when you think about the death of Jesus Christ, Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the greatest act of love that God showed for mankind. He gave you and I a Savior. So that, you see, the penalty for sin is death. Jesus said, I'm going to die on their behalf. I'm going to pay for them. And He didn't pay with gold or silver. He paid with His own blood. That's why John the Baptist introduced Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes what? Who takes the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ pay for my sins on the cross. And that's where He became the Savior of the world. And after He conquered death, I mean, He just proved to the world that He was exactly who the angels said He was. That He was exactly Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, that's why you and I need a Savior, because we cannot save ourselves. Now, in my years that I've been doing ministry, we know that God can do all kinds of things, but I also found out God cannot do some things. It's like, really? God cannot save you if you don't want to be saved. Jesus Christ is a Savior. He's only the Savior for whoever wants Him. Now, it says, a news of great joy. Now I got everybody awakened. Like, you know, really? The news of a Savior, that Jesus can save everybody. He says He came, but only those who want to be saved will be saved. God, you see, He loves us so much, but God's love is not like, I'm going to force you to love me. That's not love. That's dictatorship. And God said, like, God does this. Like, if you don't want Him, say, okay, have it your way. He says, you know, and then it's like people sometimes come to Him, and then He's ready. In the Old Testament, He said it this way, seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So you're not seeking me. Why do you think the shepherds found the baby? What did they do? They went to check it out. And they saw just like the angels told them. And they, after they have sought him out, they praised him. They worshiped him. So Jesus is the Savior of everybody, but not everybody wants to be saved. And if you don't want to be saved, you won't be saved. You see, God can only save those who believe. God so loved the world, not to use. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever, black and white, Hispanic, Latino, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's whoever. He gave. But then he says, you don't believe. So you see, another thing that we need to understand about God, he doesn't change his mind. If God was mad about sin back in the Old Testament, he's still mad about the same sins today. God does not change. And if he said, he's not going to save you without believing just because you are beautiful and you're a special person. He already told you what we need to do. So God says, you got to believe in my son in order for you to be saved. So you know, there's a lot of people that they still reject Jesus. They still don't believe that he was the Savior of the world. And at the end of the day, God, you think God's going to tell him, what church did you go to? Did you go to church all the time? You know the question God's going to ask everybody, what do you do? How do you respond to my son? I gave him to you so you believe and place your trust in him so that through him you can be saved. And he's the only one that can save you. You see, if God looks at me without Jesus, he sees that I'm a filthy man. That I don't even deserve to get over here. But it's because of Jesus that God looks at me and says, like, wow, yeah, Jesus is like a binoculars. He looks at you, it's like, they're holy. Yeah, they're righteous people. The moment that God removed Jesus, he cannot even look at you and me. Because we're still enemy. So that's why you and I need the Savior to go between us. Jesus Christ can only save those who want to be saved. Now the question is, what are you going to do with the news about the Savior? What are you going to do with Jesus? I know some of you already have embraced Jesus. Some of you already believe. Like, I love that song that they selected. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's giving us new life. I believe in the crucifixion. I believe that he conquered death. I believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back. I believe, he says. But you see, you don't have to believe because I said I believe. Don't believe because I told you to believe. Please believe because you got to do like the shepherds. Go research it. Go try to disprove that Jesus Christ is not the Savior. Just I challenge anybody. Just try. Because I guarantee you're going to find him through your trying, through the research, and you're going to find out that he is. The evidence is right there all over the place. Jesus Christ even changed the course of history. Why do you think we have a B.C. and A.D. calendar? All that had to do with this baby that was born in a manger. All because of Jesus Christ. Whether people want to admit it or not, I mean, it's just, and you know, some of those that don't believe that he was the Savior, they at least believe that he existed, and that he was a man. And I love when you go and research some people that are not even Christian, not in the Bible, they say, oh, Jesus was a magician because he did magic tricks. That's what they say. Apparently they heard that he can do things, and that's how they portray Jesus. The Romans writers. Jesus will save those who believe and trust in him. That's why he told Mary and Martha. He said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. I came so that in me you may have life and life more abundantly. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to heaven to the Father except through me. You see, he is the bridge. He is the mediator. That baby that became a man, pay for my sins and yours. He's the Savior of the world. I love what Peter said to a whole bunch of religious groups in Acts. He says, that Jesus whom you kill, God rose them from the dead. And salvation is found in no one else because there's no other name given to men by whom we must be saved, but the only the name of Jesus. And Paul said, we read that today, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is who? Lord. To the glory of God the Father. He is the Savior. But he only can save you if you want him. If you embrace him. Say, Lord, yes, I need you. It's only through you that I can that I can be at peace with God. So, how are you going to respond to the Savior? I think you and I should respond like the shepherds did. Go seek Him out. Search Him. Like I said, don't believe what I'm telling you today because, you know, it's a sermon over there. I love when people challenge what I'm preaching. You know, just go research it. Just try to find out Jesus. Like there are a couple of guys that I know that they say, you know, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. I'm going to prove to you that that was a lie, that Christianity, whatever. One of those guys is called Lee Strobel. And his wife was a Christian, he was, and he said, you know, I don't know why you always praying, whatever. You know, I'm going to prove to you that that's just wrong. Lee Strobel traveled all over the world trying to disprove Jesus, trying to, you know, Christianity is false, that you should not believe in Him as the Messiah. Through his research, he lives in Chicago, and he's a writer. He works for the Chicago Tribune. And then through his research, because he did like the shepherds did, he went and searched. He found Jesus. And now he writes books to help you defend your faith. Books like The Case for Christ, The Case for the Resurrection, The Case for Easter, The Case for the Savior. Now, this man that used to be a skeptical, there's another one called Josh McDowell. You can research it. Do the history. How he was an atheist. Didn't believe in that stuff. Until he said, you know what? I'm going to spend all my expertise. All the abilities that God has given me, I'm going to spend it to prove to people that Jesus Christ wasn't really the Savior. He did it. And through his research, he found Jesus. And now, he writes to you about why you and I should trust the Bible, why you should trust Jesus. I mean, amazing how people, their lives are being changed when they find that Messiah, when they find the Savior. So what you and I should do? Go research it. Find it out. You see, I was born in the church, but I also believe, and I know it's true, that I'm not a Christian because my dad was a pastor. My dad's been a preacher, preaching for 45 years. But that, not because my dad is a preacher, that doesn't make me go to heaven. My dad told me I need to do my own research myself, and then I did not even want to be a preacher. I told many of you. I didn't want to do this job. I went to school to be an engineer because I love buildings and things. That's what I wanted to do until God called me. You know, and now I'm going to spend the rest of my life, whatever I know, whatever I get from Jesus, I want all the people to know Him. Because I want people to get to know Him as a Savior like He saved me. From many things. He's still saving me, you know, from danger and other things. But He saved me. He gave me life. And life more abundantly. I see now more meaning to my life. All because of Jesus Christ. And I always tell my wife, and I love what she said about, she's not my number one in my life. Jesus is. And I don't want to be the number one in her life. Jesus has to be the number one. We come second when it comes to Christ. And you see, for some of you who are looking for a partner today, find somebody who loves Jesus more than you. And you'll be okay. You'll be all right. This is my counsel for you today. But Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Don't believe it because I'm telling you. Please, don't believe. Go find out. Go research it. Go seek Him out. And when you find it out, when you realize what it is, spread out the news. Some of you already know that He's your Savior. Are you spreading out the news like the shepherds did? Are you telling other people about Jesus? Not just when we come to church, but when you get the opportunity to talk to somebody that they want to know, really, are you going to tell them, you know, let's talk about this. So are you spreading out the news? And I guarantee you, another thing is going to happen is that you eventually going to find yourself worshiping God for what He's been doing in your life, that He loved you so much that He gave you a Savior. The shepherds went to inquire. They found out Jesus. They spread out the news and they came back going home worshiping God. You and I are going to find ourselves worshiping Him because He's marvelous. Since we worship Him when He does amazing things in our lives, because He's not done with us. So what have you done with Jesus? How are you responding to the news of a Savior? Is He even your Savior? Because if it's not, I just don't want you to go home without thinking about what I'm telling you today. Just do the research. Find that out. I mean, think about, what are you going to do with Jesus? If you haven't considered that question, just ponder upon that question. Because He's the one that's going to make all the difference in the world on us.